Hello and welcome back to Into the Pines Between Two Skis podcast. I'm your host today, Austin Rose, and I'm joined with the one, the only, Trent Walker.
How's it going, guys?
So for today's episode, we wanted to hop in and talk to you about a little bit of a wrap-up of what we've spoken about on our podcast. We want to bring things to a little bit of a close as the season starts winding down and we're going into April now. And I want to talk a little bit about like what our best parts of the season were, what our favorite episodes that we've spoken about, and even get into what do you do now that the ski season is ending? What do you do with your skis? What do you do with your gear? Is there tuning that we need to do to it? And like, what can we do to prepare so that we're ready to jump into next season? Because who wants to forget about skiing? No one.
Yeah.
Right? So let's hop on in. And Trent, why don't you start us off by just recapping a little bit about what happened in this 2022-23, ski winter that we've had?
Yeah. Well, first off, the amount of snow that we've gotten this winter has been incredible.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. Brighton right now is like 800 inches plus, which is just...
For the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is nuts. And like to put that into perspective for you guys, like 400, like 500 is like a good year.
Yeah. That's right? Like, yeah, 500 is usually like, we had a good snow year this year.
So 800 is bonkers.
Yes.
So this, like that part was really great. Had a lot of fun at that demo day trying a bunch of new stuff. But after I like try different things, I always go back to my gear and I'm like, this is why I ride this gear.
Right.
So had not as many powder days as I would have liked. I just couldn't get up as much, but, had some decent powder days, some good turns, and, it was a successful season, I would say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was your favorite, like, ski that you rode this year? You know, a lot of times when I finish a season, I kind of look back and I say, this ski that I rode either on this day or like these, like, 7 days on this ski were just phenomenal. Like, I just can't get enough. And I always look forward to what day can I take out the Bench Hetlers again?
Yeah.
Right. Or whatever it is.
So on my demo day, I got on the Bent 110 and I really enjoyed that ski. But then once I went back and got on my Bent 120s, I kind of had a different mindset with approaching them.
Yeah.
I tried to approach them in a little more of a playful manner and treating them more like a 110.
Yeah.
And not feeling like they're so daunting. And it made me feel like when I first got on that ski and just like had a little more like enjoyment. Sometimes I feel like I get in my own head about like a lot of different specs and different things.
Yeah.
And, like, the day I took those out, like, it wasn't, like, the deepest powder day, but I still, like, had a blast on those skis, right?
Yeah.
And so that's sometimes, sick. Like, really just take a step back and just, like, enjoy the sport. Yeah. I think that once you get, like, really into it, sometimes that can be hard because you're thinking about so many different things, but usually it takes me about 3 runs before I'm like, all right, like, everything else is like wiped away and like now I'm skiing,
Yes. No, I love that you bring that up. I mean, I was even having ideas. Trent and I were just talking about how the season went for us before we even started this podcast. And, a big thing that we will probably should do an episode on in the future is ski fatigue.
Yeah.
In the way of like our mental fatigue and what we go through with work and trying to find ways to dedicate time for a hobby, a sport, something you just enjoy, and how to keep the fun in it and not like wear it out so fast, and make it like a workout or like a chore that you have to go do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and one of my favorite skiers, Hoji, he mountain bikes in the summer.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember listening to a podcast and they were interviewing him about it. And I guess he rides kind of like not a great mountain bike.
Yeah.
And a lot of his buddies are like, dude, you need to get a new mountain bike. Like, they make all this sick stuff and like you can get way into like, like probably more so than skiing. And he's like, honestly, guys, like skiing, I'm like super techie around skis. Like, he does a lot of engineering for Forefront. And he's like, mountain biking, I just want to enjoy. I don't want to like get into all this. And I really thought that was interesting because it's like, He doesn't want to get fatigued, like that mental fatigue.
It's so true. You know, I've had times where I just so into all these skis, and there, sometimes you do have to just tone it back a little bit and say, like, what am I going to have fun on and go enjoy and find ways not to go overboard too much, right? And go too crazy with something and with anything in our life, you know. So that's awesome. That's a great point. So I want to go back to actually thinking about that. And on those lines, my favorite ski of this year has been the Volcal Revolts, the 104s, I think, the width on them. And I'll tell you why, which is really because I've had these Revolts now for about 2 years. I've had my Line Visions that are 98 millimeters for 3 years. And I've had the JJ Ultralights for about 3, maybe 4 years, right? And looking over even all those seasons, you know, I've had different times I've enjoyed the Visions because they're so soft and just playful. But really, that Revolt has just touched like the perfect middle ground where I would say this is like the ski I want to take out every day.
Yeah.
You know, it carves so well. For a ski that's 104 millimeters, it's just turning. I mean, I've got days I go up with Trent where we're just like laying out fat turns just on the groomers. And then the next thing you know, we're in the park and then we're hitting powder.
Yeah.
And for a ski to do all that, it just makes me happy that I don't need to worry about what ski I'm taking up for the day. I grab the pair I just love, you know, and it just crushes it.
Well, so one thing that like, and pros are way better at this, but like for us, we get to a point where after 3, 4, 5 seasons, like we know exactly how that ski is going to ride on a variable conditions, right? And so that like peace of mind really allows you to just like let loose and just be like, yeah, I feel comfortable everywhere, right? Because you've really grown accustomed to exactly how that ski rides. So I love it that like sometimes it's not worth it to get a new pair of skis every season or even every 4 seasons.
Yeah. Well, and it's learning, I think, to like feel that ski out. And like for me, it's a big feeling. Like I physically feel how this is going to turn and ride. And my body like remembers it. Mm-hmm. And then that lets me let go of the thinking of like the tech and what's going on so that I can focus on the run.
Yep.
Right. And it's like learning to let go, trust your gear, enjoy the run.
Yeah.
And that's where it all the fun happens.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's perfect.
Awesome. All right. Well, what about recapping a little bit of the podcast? I mean, what have we spoken about this year? And let's talk about maybe some of our favorite moments from this podcast.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments was like we did kind of like a mini series where we like broke down like a lot of styles of skiing. And I loved doing that because we kind of got into our favorite skis of each category and we got into why certain skis shine and what certain skis are good at. So I loved breaking that down and being able to go over that. That was probably my favorite part of doing the podcast. And, you know, we've learned a lot about like the technical side of stuff, but those were my favorite episodes to make for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, we've spoken about so much. I mean, really, we started with breaking down skis, going into clothing, gear, preparing for the mountain. We did a ChatGPT episode. You know, we did your demo day up at Brighton. For me, you know, it can be hard to choose just one favorite, but I love really getting in and talking about skis and boots.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd say probably the boot episode was one of my favorites.
Nice.
Like the tech that goes into a ski boot just blows your mind when you realize like how much is actually going into this. And going from a place in this industry that you started with like a leather shoe, you know, that you strapped into, to now designing certain types of plastics that can flex at different capacities, that can heat up and mold in different ways. And what can you get into to just make it more comfortable? I mean, there are times where my feet just ache and sore, and, you know, going now into all this new stuff just gets me excited.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what I'm most excited about with the ski industry, is going to be seeing like the progress in boots and skis and bindings together, like how they're going to mold them together just to be easier for consumers.
Yeah.
So
this is on that note, like my ski boots are 4, maybe 5 seasons old. And it's like the first season where I'm like, wow, these feel comfortable. And it's also the first season where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm getting as much performance out of this.
I might need new boots. Finally broken in. Yeah. Oh, I'd say about 4 or 5 years is generally a time where a lot of people start looking at new gear. Yeah. Right. So, yeah.
But yeah, I did really enjoy the ski boot episode too. And I learned a lot from you this season about a couple different things that I was like, oh, I actually didn't know that, or I didn't think about it like this. So yeah.
Oh, likewise. Likewise. Awesome. All right. Well, and you know, for all you viewers, if you had something that you just loved, we'd love to see comments on our social media posts, on our, you know, YouTube page. If you can leave reviews anywhere on our websites, love to hear what is most helpful for people that are actually listening, and what they would like to hear in the future. Even if you're somebody that's like one of my friends or something that's listening, and you know, you just want to say, hey, I enjoyed this part. Like, I love it. So
yeah.
Love to just put that out there. All right. Let's hop into wrapping up this season. You know, do we have any like rituals for the last day of the mountain? I've had a lot of people ask this question. I mean, we live in Utah and there's a lot of dry climate here. And people tend to ask, hey, what do I do? Like, how do I tune my skis for the summer?
Yeah.
You know, I heard of this thing called a summer wax, a summer tune. And do I need that? Is that a big deal? Mm-hmm. You know, let's hop in and talk a little bit about that. What are our kind of last things we do on the mountain? And then we'll hop into the tuning part.
Okay. Awesome. So I'd say one of my, like, if it's my last day on the mountain, usually it's warm.
Yeah.
And usually I don't care if I fall a lot. So I usually, well, another thing I've noticed is my confidence level at the end of the season is so much higher than my confidence level at the beginning. And so, like, I'm way more confident in just, like, hucking jumps and stuff. And obviously, I'm not, like, super crazy or getting crazy high. But I will notice that on my last day of the season, I'll get a little more ambitious with what I'm choosing to jump off of. And so, on my very last day, I'll just do, like, park, because like there's not going to be a ton of powder or anything, right?
Yeah.
It's just these like hot laps.
Yep.
And so I'll just hot lap through the park and see, like, just really try to get jumps down and just have as much fun in the air as I can. That's like my last day kind of ritual on the hill. What about you?
That's awesome. No, that's great. And you know, something interesting about that would be finding how you can take that last day and incorporate it into your early season game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What can I take from, hey, I was a lot more confident here. How can I carry that over a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really cool to explore that.
Yeah. I know. I would love to like be able to implant the confidence, because there's something about like just how I approach the mountain at the beginning of the year versus the end of the year. That's just, I don't know what it is.
Cautious.
And, yes, exactly.
I get it.
When being a dad, I'm just like, oh man, I can't hurt myself. Right.
Yeah, no, for myself, you know, if it's my last day on the mountain or last week on the mountain, I'm really looking for just an enjoyment out of the process. You know, like you said, snow quality is usually not that great. We haven't talked a whole lot about spring skiing on this podcast, but definitely something that we could in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the snow quality that you're getting and using like warm temp wax on your skis and everything so that you're not sticking like crazy.
Yeah.
But it's just a different type of skiing and I love it. I'll try and find a day I can get out there with my shirt off and like ski in my shorts because it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, that's what it's about. Like end of the last day of the season, I'm up there taking, you know, really just fun carving runs. Like I'm usually not hitting anything too crazy, but I will try and find some small shoots or something that are just fun that I can like get that enjoyment out of and like recap what I did this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then just like taking wide turns. Cause a lot of times during like your last day, there's not a huge crowd of people and I just take the whole mountain, you know, I just carve as much, like as long as I can and mm-hmm. just like get that feeling and just like that cruising and get that enjoyment and just kind of soak it in.
Well, you have to like savor it, right?
Because
it's going to be a while before you get it again.
Yes. But no, if you are taking big carves on a spring day that is sticky snow, be prepared for your hip flexors to burn. I've had to stop a few times where I was like, my hip's going to pop. Yeah, it's some fun stuff. But Yeah, that's my kind of ritual going last day and just like enjoying it. I won't even stay the whole time. Usually about 3 o'clock, the snow starts getting like
it's water. Slush. Yeah.
So then I'm going down and I rock climb the rest of the day.
Nice. So, that's awesome. One of my favorite days I had late season was I was in high school and me and my buddies just like found this rock and made this jump off this rock and we just hiked this rock over and over and over again in our hoodies, right? We just like and so like you're saying, like just savor it, have fun, and remember why you do it, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. Awesome. What about summer tuning?
All right. This is where I have a little more precise things to say.
This is where exact... you need to listen
yes. up. Yeah. Yep. So I usually dedicate like 3 to 4 hours to summer tune all of my skis.
Yeah.
And I've got a decent quiver and I also do my wife's skis. What I do is I will actually sharpen my edges at the end of the season.
Yep.
And the reason I do that is so that when the new season comes, like they're ready. Like
yes.
whenever the snow starts falling, like I'm ready to go. And so I'll hand sharpen my edges and then I put a summer wax on. Now we can kind of dive into what that means.
Yes. Do you need a summer wax?
I strongly recommend like summer waxing your skis. And it's more just like for protection of your skis, right? So let's talk about what it is and then we can dive into like the benefits.
Yep.
So all summer wax is it's your normal wax, usually like an all temp, and you wax it on and then you just don't scrape it off.
Yep.
And you just put your skis together and you put them away. What that does for you is, especially here in Utah where it's really dry, the base of your skis are like your face, right? And it's porous like your face. And if you took a shower and got out of the shower and then like didn't put any lotion on for the whole summer, like your face would be like super dry and cracked, right?
Yeah.
And that's how our skis can get if we don't wax them, right?
Yeah.
And so a summer wax, when you apply that coat, when you don't scrape it off, that coat will protect your base from drying out. Another reason why it's really smart to summer tune your stuff is usually the snow quality, because everything's starting to melt on your last couple days, is the so science time, right? Like
yep.
Snow is a little bit of dirt and water, right? Right.
Yes.
That's what makes the molecules. And so when snow starts to melt, a lot of dirt's left on top. And so when you're skiing, you can actually get a lot of dirt in your skis and in your base. And so cleaning that out will help your ski be faster. And so we want to make sure we help it stay clean so that it can perform at the highest level. So I always like to clean my bases, sharpen my edges to the way that I like them, and then apply that summer wax. And I also don't store them in my garage. I usually store them under my bed because my garage can get pretty hot. And if those materials inside your ski are getting hot regularly, it can actually cause like the epoxy to expand.
Yep.
And it's not very common, but it can cause some problems down the line.
Well, and this is wood. Like we got to remember too, like these skis are a wood core. They are like wood, as we know, with temperature variations is going to flex and change and move.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you ever seen like an old pair of skis and where the camber is like insane or it's like nothing, you know, and you're like, it's because you put a little bit of camber in a ski and over time it just wants to bend as it goes through temperature changes. And, you know. So I love that you bring that up. You know, when I talk about summer tunes, I would say, with that, like do's and don'ts, you know, do's always clean your base before you put on your wax, you know, do your edges while you're at it. Cause you're there.
Yeah.
Save yourself time so you can enjoy the next season quicker, you know, like then you don't have to worry about doing your edges when you go to start your skiing.
Yeah. Or like rushing into the shop to be like, oh, like, can you get my edges done? And it's like, well, shoot, like you and 85 other people.
Yes. If you have base damage, always do a repair. Don't just store it with wax on top.
Yes. Oh my. Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I was just thinking about that. And, you know, there's been a lot of times people, I mean, people come in with like a big base, like core shot. And I mean, a core shot with wax on it's probably better than a core shot with nothing.
Yeah, because it at least seals it, right?
Yeah. But I mean, then you're just drying up everything within that core. All of the base material that's going straight through that spot, it's going to cause issues with the fix and the repair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to, it's not going to hold as well.
Well, and like you're saying, that wood, it can dry out. It can crack. It's not going
to... fiberglass.
Yeah. Yep. The strength of that spot is going to be less.
Yes.
Right? So if you like crash and you hit that spot really hard, like you're more likely to really do some serious damage to your skis.
Or snap or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So always do the proper repair. You know, please don't ever, you know, don't P-Tex a core shot. Not good. Yeah. It causes more damage than benefit.
Yeah.
You know. But definitely take the time to like evaluate your gear, mm-hmm. you know, just as you would a car or anything before a road trip, you know, go through it and just say, hey, like I've got these spots. I'm going to P-Tex this up, clean it up. And then you don't have to worry about that material drying out. Yeah. Right. And then you can put your wax on. Now, you know, people have asked me this question in the past. What kind of wax should I use for a summer tune? Right. Because what we're doing is we're just dripping wax on, spreading it over the ski, and then we just don't scrape it.
Yep.
We just have a thick layer of wax.
Yeah.
Now, really, you can do any wax. Like, it's not going to, you know, it. All of them are going to be better instead of not doing it. But I would recommend an all temp or cold temp, and then warm temp last.
Yeah.
Reasons being is warm temp wax generally gets absorbed a little more into the base of the ski, and it actually like. I mean, it's not like a bad thing, but you're not going to get as thick of a layer for storage wax as you may want.
Yeah.
Right? Second would be when you go to ski next, you probably won't be skiing with a warm temp wax on your ski for next season.
Yeah.
So save yourself some time. Might as well, you know, scrape it and be ready to go.
Yep.
Than having to put a warm temp and then realize that you're sticking to the snow because the wax isn't doing the job that it's supposed to.
Yeah, or so, like the cold just wipes all the wax clean off.
Yes,
right? So
exactly. Yeah. So there is some really cool science with wax temps that would be fun to talk about in the future. And I think we even had some in our tuning episode that we did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, and then if you can, my last tip is if you're going to a shop, have them do a base grind for you.
Get that
basic tune.
Yeah.
You know, the base grind, you know, some people worry about shedding too much material off their bases. It really takes a lot of passes on a base grinder to get that far. I don't really know the exact number because it really depends. You know, they used to say you can only do it like 6 to 8 times or something. And
Each shop, like, you don't know how much pressure they're putting on it or whatever, right? Like, some...
if they're using a new belt grinder
or
it's an old sander, it's going to do very little.
Yeah, or like there's a lot of shops out there. I'm going to blow the lid off this. But there's a lot of shops out there that they're having high school kids tune your skis. And you just don't know how like aggressive they're being or if they're like
yes.
So
that's not to worry say they're bad, that's to say they take the cautious approach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and so like then you get and the equipment they're working with sometimes isn't like the most up to date. So sometimes they're doing it by hand, right?
Yes.
They're pushing it against it by hand. There's some shops that are really nice and they'll like feed your ski through and it's like
full
consistent pressure.
Machines.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like those are really sweet. But really like a lot of your local shops aren't going to have something like that sophisticated, but that doesn't mean you don't trust them. But really that edge grind that you're talking about or that base grind that you're talking about, it's going to help your ski just absorb more of the wax and be protected. So I love that you bring that up. Yeah. I love that.
And hey, more reasons to learn to do your own gear yourself.
You
know, if you're curious about what other people are doing with it in the shop, keep it to a base grind. So that's all they got to do. I don't have to worry about, you know, grinding your edges down. You'll do that faster than you will your base.
Yeah.
So you got a little more forgiveness in your base than you will your edges.
Here's another hot take. Edges in the shop can be hard to keep consistent.
Yes.
just because everyone has their own ways of doing it. I was pretty particular about how I did them. I'm uber particular about how I do my own stuff. I do it all by hand. But yeah, it's very interesting.
Yes.
The back shop world.
Yep. If you're particular about your ski edges, watch Trent's YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And then you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Well, we're going to, you know, wrap this up, talk a little bit about our plans for the future, and then finish off this episode.
Yeah.
So, what are you excited for, Trent?
So, I'm really excited, right? Like, Austin and I's plan is this season's going to end, and we're not going to post anything for a while. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop creating. We want to have things ready to go for right when the new season hits, that you guys can feel like we're bringing quality material that is on a consistent basis. We were decently consistent, but there were a couple weeks that we missed here and there. Yeah. And so we really want like a stockpile so that every week you guys are getting something that you can enjoy and feel like you're getting value out of. And so really the summer is going to be for us to prepare to have a heck of a winter, you know?
Yes. No, I love that. Yeah, what you can look forward to this next year is really going to be Trent and I preparing to dive deep.
Yeah.
We want to put out a lot more content. You'll hopefully be seeing a lot more of us on social media to get our name out there a little more, so that we can start seeing what are the issues that other people, you know, want addressed a little bit more. And we're excited because a lot of people have told us, you know, the feedback we have gotten is, you know, enjoying the stories that we're able to share, bringing some of that fun into the ski industry and whatnot. And then talking about some of this deeper topics, you know, mm-hmm. People say, I didn't know that much went into a ski boot.
Right.
You know, I had no idea that you even had to like go into that much care with your ski as far as prepping it for the mountain. And oh my gosh, it made a difference. You know? So, you know, we look forward to that. We've got a lot more content coming specifically on, you know, what kind of skis you can look forward to in this next year as they begin to release more and more models in the stores so we can go check them out and report back with you.
Yeah. So. We're really looking forward to, you know, what Into the Pine has to offer in the future and how we can grow. And hopefully we can get more YouTube videos going. We have like a decent amount of videos, but if we can get consistent on that too, that would be awesome.
Yep. Awesome. So. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us in today's episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed some of the fun and just a nice relaxing based episode this time where we didn't get too deep, but you gotta hear a little bit from Trent about like his season on how he skied and a little bit from me on what I enjoyed on the skis that I ride. So thanks again for tuning in and, you know, journey with us further into the pine.